Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana ballava hiri varudha utse Gopi jana ballava hiri varudha utse Yasuna nandana vraja jana randahuna Yasuna nandana vraja jana randahuna Yamuna te rabana chagode Yamuna te Ravana chakti Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Hiri Madhura Gopi Jana Balaba Jana Malaba Kiri Bharata Udve Yasuna Nanda Vraja Jana Randa Huna Sodanandana vraja jana randa guna Jamuna te ravana chagove Yamuna te ravana chagove Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jai Om Vishnupad Padamahansa Paravidakacharya All Satana Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Chatana Dvaktavaranda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskad Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagavata Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Kidi Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Majuram Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur and Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Maha. So before reading from this nice chapter of the Krishna book, chapter 24, which is entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill, I want to talk about Govardhan Hill's identity. Because Govardhan Hill is actually what we call God. Now that appears very strange. Why can a hill be God? So, Krishna expands in different ways. Some of you may know, that Krishna has many different expansions in different species of life. I think you've heard, of course, tomorrow we're going to be celebrating Krishna's expansion as a boar, which is basically a giant pig, wild. And so Krishna appears half man, half lion, Lord Nrsingadev. Krishna appears, he has a horse-headed incarnation. That's the Hayagriva incarnation. Krishna appears in human form, actually in every species of life. So one may ask, why does he do that? You know, why does he just behave himself? You know, just stay in the spiritual world, you know, just dance with Radharani and, you know, play with the cowherd boys. Well, because Krishna is called Rasa Raj. Rasa Raj means basically the king of Rus. And so I'm going to explain what a Rus is. That means a taste. Just like most of us, except for me, when we eat, we want to have different tastes every day, right? Somehow or other. I don't. But anyway, it's my mother. Mataji. Oh, some new devotees. How'd they get here? You invited them? Oh. Hare Krishna. Your names or?
My name is Prem Ras Das.
Prem Ras Das. Where are you from?
Mumbai,
that's nice. Hare Krishna. Please come in. You brought everybody in? Mother Urmila? They were all with you?
I met them in the
Okay. Okay. All right, so we got a big crew here today. Okay, so we got an international crew here. We got people from America, people from everywhere. India, everywhere. So we're talking about Govardhan Hill. And actually, come in. There's room for everybody. We're all friendly. More people than we get in Ugaloka. We were talking about why Krishna appears as Govardhan. Not only the story of Krishna, how he did it or what he did when he appeared at Govardhan. We got more candidates here. We got the yogis coming in. Pranesha is sleeping, so he's not coming. Okay. It's great to see everybody. So, everybody sit down. Oh, more. Okay. Welcome. Pretty good. See? Nice. So we were having this whole discussion about why Krishna appears as Govardhan. Not only the story of what he does when he appears as Govardhan, you know, the whole Govardhan Puja story, which I was going to read, but maybe I'll just talk about the why factor. That Krishna is known as Rasa Raj. Now, the word Ras means like a taste. And as I was explaining before, we all like to have a variety of tastes when we eat something, isn't it? I mean, is anyone... Oh, more. See? Wow. Vishamanu, Sarangi, Sarangi, so... Come in. She should have a seat. My poor, you can... Mayapur can do it, yoga posture, so. So, okay, good to see you.
Thank you, good to see
you too. Okay, so, okay, don't rewind. So, Chris is known as Rasa Raj, and so we all like to have a variety of tastes, right? I mean, does anyone here like to eat the same thing every day? Well, you can tell who the yogis are, you know. Is anybody a bogey here? You know, like to eat? Like to eat a different ethnic food every day? Yes. So anyway, so we got okay. Newly engaged couples here. Okay. So, rewind again. So, Krishna's known as Rasaraj. So, he likes to have different tastes, different rasas. So, as we know from studying rasa theology, that there's five basic rasas. You know, there's the passive shantaras, where devotees or people who are just starting devotional service, they just worship God in the mood of awe and reverence, right? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Right. Anyway, something like that. If you happen to be of a different religious persuasion. So, that's Shanta, you know, God is great. You know, boy, he created the universal form. He's really cool. So, and then you know, try not to put the back to the deities there, so because Govardhan is there, he's watching us. And so then you have Shantaras and Dasyaras, which is like, oh, I'm God's servant. And then after that, you have Sakyaras. Sakya means I'm God's buddy, which is, gets a little more intimate. And Vatsalya, then I'm God's mommy. Let me chastise him. And then after that, you have Maturya, which is not only do I belong to God, but God belongs to me.
Right?
That's interesting. Because normally we think, what is it? That Ishvasamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatram Jagat. And also Manasa Deha Geha Yokishumor Apilam Tuya. Hare Nanda Kishore, that everything is yours, Nanda Kishore, my home, my body, and everything like that. But someone in the conjugal, at least Srimati Radharani, is thinking Krishna belongs to me. So, in other words, it's interesting, at one end of the spectrum, in the material world, you're thinking things belong to me. And then when you go to the highest, you're also thinking everything, Krishna belongs to me, which is everything. You know, Krishna's everything. Ahamsarvasya Prabhu. So it's quite interesting, you know, contrasting the two positions. So anyway, so we're all familiar with these five different rasas. But then Krishna says, well, we have these five rasas, but I want to flavor them. Just like you have different vegetables. And I think most of you like to put spices on the vegetables, right? Like hot spices, yeah, garam masala, right? Right? Yeah, nobody's satisfied except for me with boiled, maybe some of the yogis are satisfied, boiled broccoli or boiled quinoa with vegetables. So very few people are satisfied with that. People want to, you know, put all sorts of spices in, they call chunk. Actually, the right pronunciation, proper pronunciation, chunk, not chance. Anyway, it's interesting. Anyway, so they cook the spices and they add the different spices, and every day it's something different. So Krishna likes that too. You know, he's not just like an austere yogi. He is a yogi, but you know, but not that type of yogi. Krishna's a bogey yogi. Because Krishna says in the Gita, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram. You know, Bhakta. So I'm the enjoyer. So Krishna's a bogey. And we're supposed to be yogis. But anyway, so Krishna wants to enjoy all these different indirect, what we call indirect rasas or secondary rasas, another experience, another name for it. And like fear. I mean, why would someone want to experience fear? Isn't it? Boy, I mean, it's really interesting. But then I remember when I was a child, we'd go to horror movies. Does anyone ever do that? Dracula, Godzilla, what?
Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, don't remind me. On Saturday, my mother would give me a nickel to go to the theater. It was very cheap in those days. The Nickelodeon. You know? So we go, or sometimes we go to the amusement park and we go on what's called a roller coaster. Do you have any roller coasters here in India? You know, everybody's screaming. What?
Disneyland.
Oh yeah, that's why he went to America. So he got to Disneyland. So everybody's going down the roller coaster, or they have this thing called the centrifuge, where it spins around, and you're pressed against the wall with like 10 G's. I mean, isn't this fun? Because people, you know, people like these strong emotions. They don't like to be bored. And sometimes even people in this world just have strong emotions that, you know, they hurt themselves. You know, just so they, you know, because just boredom is actually worse than pain. So Krishna, he likes to have these strong feelings. So Krishna likes to sometimes have fear or bewilderment or shock. You know, Adbhuta, oh my God. Like, for example, when the coward boys marched into the Agassa or a demon, you know, Krishna was a little shocked. Said, what am I going to do? And of course he's God, we understand that. But there's this yogamaya that Krishna employs to actually help him forget that he's God. Just like if one is... I mean, just like if one is experiencing a great happiness or intensity of emotion, one forgets one's responsibilities, isn't it? And when you go see a movie, like you see Star Wars or something, sorry about that one. But if you see Star Wars and just say, oh my God, what about Darth Vader, you know? So, some of you know Star Wars?
Heard about it.
You heard about it?
Yeah.
Never watched it?
No.
Too bad. My condolences to you. or let's say you go see a Bollywood movie. You seen a Bollywood movie?
Many.
Many, okay. So you see a Bollywood movie. I saw one time called Oh My God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was actually really good, educational. It was. It had bogey yogis in it. It showed one yogi. He was a so-called yogi, and he was supposed to be fasting, but he couldn't fast, so he took the food with him into the toilet, and he was eating in the toilet, so no one could see that he was. Anyway, so just like, when you're watching a movie, you just forget about your normal life. So, of course, Krishna's normal life is enjoying. It's not that Krishna has to go to work. Just like Prabhupada told the story about how one man went into a Hindu temple And in America, in the West, we have these Hindu temples with like 20 different altars on them. In India, usually it's one, you know, one deity. But in you know, in America, it's like, you know, there's a deity for everybody. You know, so Prabhupada tells a story how in the UK, someone went into a Hindu temple, there was like so many different deities. And this person knew nothing about Vedic culture. And he was looking at all the deities, and he pointed out Krishna, and he said, well, that's God. And the priest didn't know that Krishna was God. You know, funny, the English man, who was probably a Malecha, he knew that Krishna was God. The rest of them didn't know. Even the Brahmin priest, Mr. Sharma, didn't know who was God. And the priest said, why? What do you think he's God? You know, how do you know he's God? And the Englishman said, why? Because all the other deities are doing something. You know, they're meditating, or they're, you know, Durga's on a tigress, you know, with her trident, like that, Trishita. And this particular deity is just there with his girlfriend enjoying. Oh, we got more people coming. From where?
Wellington.
Oh, yeah. I recognize. Haribao. Oh, my God. See? This is Govardhan. You never know what's going to happen. Hare Krishna, good to see you. Oh, you leaving?
They don't understand English.
Oh, they don't understand English. Oh, I'm sorry.
They only know Hindi.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I can't. Oh, brought your mother. Where's your? Oh, she's resting. You don't want to bring her to see me. He's afraid. I'll preach to his mother. So anyway, so getting back to the story. Hare Krishna. Good to see you. Nice surprise. So, getting back to the story. Why did the Englishman know that that was God? Because Krishna was enjoying. It's nice to be popular. Fiji devotees. Okay. Let her sit. Okay, rewind. Not from the beginning. I started in the beginning. So, because Krishna, Galoka Vinivashiti Akilatma Bhuta, the statement is that Krishna is always in Galoka and Vrindavan enjoying. And in one sense, by his expansion, he's expanded everywhere, of course. He's everywhere. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra. Sarvam chamai pashyati dasaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. One should see Krishna everywhere and see Krishna in everything, and one will never be lost. This is 6:30 in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna really enjoys. Oh, another example given by Prabhupada was that Prabhupada was driving, it was in Detroit, you know this story, Mother. He was driving, he wasn't driving, but this devotee Ambarish was driving Prabhupada from the airport. Ambarish is Henry Ford's great grandson. He's a Hare Krishna devotee. See? We're making progress. So anyway, Henry Ford actually was a vegetarian, wasn't he? He was into yoga. He was into yoga and self-realization. But anyway, so he was driving Prabhupada from the airport. And they looked at the Ford Motor Company factory. And one devotee asked Ambarish, who was Henry Ford's great-grandson, do you work here? And Prabhupada said, no, he's the proprietor. You know, he's the owner. He owns stock. Actually, he doesn't work. there. So the point is that Krishna is the enjoyer, and he's in the spiritual world in his original aspect in Goloka Vrindavan, enjoying and doing things that he doesn't do anywhere else in his expansions. For example, he plays a flute in Goloka Vrindavan. He doesn't play a flute outside, even though some of the Hindi movies you see Lord Vishnu with a flute. But Lord Vishnu doesn't play a flute. And then he plays a flute. He has like really intimate relationships. I mean, it's the only place where devotees can go up, pure devotees, can go up to God and punch him on the shoulder and wrestle with him. I don't think there's too many devotees that wrestle with Lord Vishnu. And so, you know, and loving devotees and pastimes and unexcelled beauty. I'd even describe that Lord Vishnu wants to see Krishna's beauty, so he makes a trick. I mean, this is really so interesting that Vishnu and Krishna are the same in one sense. The Brahma Samhita says, Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Naviyovanam Cha. But at the same time, due to Yogamaya, they're actually manifest in two different locations or interacting with each other. So there's that whole story in the Bhagavatam that Lord Vishnu wanted to see Krishna. And in order to see Krishna, he had to make a trick. And that trick, he kept stealing a Brahmin's sons right after the Brahmin had his sons. And Arjuna tried to protect these Brahmin's sons or the Brahmin's sons from being stolen. And he was unable to, and Arjuna was getting ready to commit suicide because of his inability, because he's a Kshatriya, you know, Kshatriya, and he had also taken a vow. And then Krishna just put Arjuna on his chariot, drove outside the material universe, you know, just like, phew, talk about space travel. Pierced the covering of the material universe in his chariot, and then Lord Vishnu said, I just wanted to see you. So God is really an interesting chap, you know, because he can do unlimited different things at different times and the same time and interact with himself in different moods. But Krishna and Vrindavan is always just like engaged in intimate loving exchanges. So we started with this talk trying to explain why Krishna takes the form of Govardhan. Because Govardhan is non-different from Krishna. Because Krishna wants to enjoy interacting with himself in the form as Govardhan. Simply it. I mean, if you ask why, we were talking about this previously today with the devotees, like we should always ask ourselves why we're doing something. You know, basically it's called a sankalpa. Before you do something, you know, why are you doing it? What's the purpose? So if you ask, why does Krishna do anything, the why question, then it's simply because he wants to enjoy. Krishna's psychology is quite simple. Our psychology is quite complex. Why do I do something? Because my mother taught me to do it when I was a kid. You know, so why does Krishna lift Govardhan Hill? Because he wants to enjoy interacting with himself in the form of Govardhan Hill. That's it. Simple thing like that. So who is Govardhan Hill? What is Govardhan Hill? Non-different from Krishna. And sometimes you'll find Govardhan described as the best devotee of Krishna, and other times you'll find Govardhan described as Krishna. Because Krishna expands and he becomes his best devotee. For example, in the case of Balaram, Balaram and Krishna are non-different. Balaram is Krishna's first expansion. Balaram serves Krishna. He's also Krishna's devotee. He serves Krishna. It's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam that Balaram serves Krishna as his Brahman thread, as the singhasana in the temple, in many different ways, a sitting place, Krishna's paraphernalia. So Krishna expands himself in Braj, and he's serving himself in all of his different expansions, which is really interesting. So anyway, and so that's why Krishna appears as Govardhan. And so as far as the pastime is concerned, we want to make reference to Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. And I was going to read if everybody can be patient as we read. Because Krishna teaches a lot of lessons too. See, when Krishna does something, there's esoteric and exoteric reasons for Krishna's doing something. Esoteric means like hidden reasons. I mean, for example, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his hidden reason for appearing is because he wanted to perceive himself from the perspective of Srimati Radharani. He wanted to enjoy as his great devotee Radharani, greatest devotee Radharani enjoys. He wanted to appreciate his own beauty. That's sort of hidden. That's called esoteric. Exoteric means what most people know. He came down to teach Sankirtan, or to show the Sankirtan movement. So, in the same thing with this Govardhan Leela, there's many exoteric reasons. The esoteric reason we gave already, that Krishna just wants to enjoy. And he's enjoying, as I mentioned before, these different rasas. Like, he's worried, he's anxiety about the residents of Vrindavan, so he picks up Govardhan Hill. He's angry at Indra. You know, that's another rasa. Krishna's angry at Indra. So that's esoteric. But exoteric, we find many different lessons in this particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe I won't read, I'll just speak about the lessons. One lesson is, Krishna teaches us about worshiping the demigods. That he teaches us not how to worship the demigods, but he teaches us that if you worship him, there's no need to worship the demigods. In fact, in the Gita, it's just a further elaboration. Let me take this off, because all the people in here, the heating system is working very nicely. So, in the Gita, Krishna says, of course, about worshiping the demigods, avidipurvakam. It's not the right way. But in the Krishna book, in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna actually shows us this. You know, he actually illustrates the Gita. And in one sense, we can actually say Krishna's pastimes are an illustration of what Krishna's lessons are in the Bhagavad Gita. So as far as worshiping the demigods, the whole story starts out with Nanda Maharaj trying to put together a Indra sacrifice. Of course, I don't think anyone worships Indra now in India, do they? Have anyone seen it? I've never seen it. Anyway. Nowadays, of course, you worship Durga, you worship Ganesh, Kartikeya, and other people. Other demigods like that. I got to be careful. I don't want to offend. Because offending the demigods is actually is one of the offenses on chanting Hare Krishna. So anyway, Krishna starts out, or this story starts out, with Nanda Maharaj getting together this Indra Puja. The Indra Puja was generally done at the harvest time. Harvest time means like in the fall, after you've harvested and you're giving thanks like that. Many, many traditions have this particular type of ceremony, harvest, like Sukkot. You know about that. Harvest, you know, giving thanks. Of course, in America, where I come from, they have a horrible tradition. They eat a turkey to give thanks. It's called Thanksgiving. Can you imagine giving thanks to God by cutting the throat of one of God's creatures? Pretty horrible, isn't it? So there's this giving thanks to Indra, because Indra sends the rains. If you don't get enough rains, you can't grow anything. And so little Krishna comes and asks his father, what is the sacrifice that you're preparing for? And his father says, it's the sacrifice to Indra, because Indra is sending the rains. Without the rains, you can't grow anything. And Krishna, in order to stop his father from performing this sacrifice and to help his father focus on worshiping Govardhan, who is non-different from him, Krishna preaches a bogus philosophy. And that's called Karma Mimamsa philosophy. And this is very interesting, because Krishna is also showing us how bogus Karma Mimamsa is at the same time. Not only worshiping the demigods, Karma Mimamsa, because he wants to dissuade us from the improper understanding of the Vedic conclusion. So the Karma Mimamsa philosophy is, if you act nicely in this lifetime, you know, help a lot of old ladies cross streets or whatever, you know, do all your pujas. And actually, this is very similar to the modern groups, the Arya Samaj and the Brahmo Samaj. You've heard about that before? Yeah. Because they're very much into the ancient Vedic literatures, you know, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, and the sacrifices. But they've sort of thrown out the whole conception of the Itihasas and the Puranas. You know, there's Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, which are, of course, those are the Puranas, the Purana and Itihasa. So they just say, you got to do your sacrifice. If you do your sacrifice, then you'll get a good result. And as far as God, well, even if he is there, he has to give you a good result. That's Karma Mimamsa. Actually, that's pretty much Arya Samaj and Brahma Samaj, pretty much their type of Karma Mimamsa. So anyway, so Krishna tells Nanda Maharaj that even if there is an Indra, and we're not sure if there's an Indra, but even if he does exist, I mean, I'm sure there is. But Krishna was saying like that to make Indra angry so that he could prove his supremacy. So even if there is an Indra, he's forced to act according, if you behave yourself. He's like a government, someone who works, a bureaucrat. Like if you're going to go, I don't know how it is in India, but where I come from, if you want to get a driver's license, it's not that you simply have to please the bureaucrat and give him a bribe. Maybe in India it works like that. But you have to take a test and fill out all the formalities. You know, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know how to drive. And so it doesn't matter whether the bureaucrat likes you or not. So Krishna is saying that the demigods are just bureaucrats. And they're not just bureaucrats. I mean, they do have some ability to act in different ways. So anyway, so then Krishna dissuades Nanda Maharaj from doing this, and then he has Nanda Maharaj take all the ingredients to worship Govardhan. And so then they worship in Govardhan very nicely with the anakut. Anakut means like a pile of grains. And this anakut ceremony was performed right here, particularly right in this area near Anyur. And there's this place called, right next to Govardhan Hill, Anakut Kshetra, which is where all the grains were piled up. And as Govardhan was, another lesson we learned is as Govardhan was eating, assumed a gigantic form, and he was eating all these grains, Govardhan became, he ate everything, and he was still hungry. And then he said to the residents of Vrindavan, I'm still hungry, do you have any more? Anior. And the residents didn't know what to do because they thought that's it. You know, we've offended Indra, and now we've offended Govardhan. So, you know, we lost our caste and everything. So what should we do? And then some intelligent devotee, he took out a tulsi leaf and gave it to Govardhan. So that's another important point, is that if we want to serve Krishna, that Krishna will not accept an offering unless there's a tulsi leaf on it. What does that mean exactly? I mean, let me just unpack that. In other words, if we want to serve Krishna, we have to get the mercy of a devotee to be able to serve Krishna. That's really what it is. You know, it's not just like a ritual, oh, you got to stick this leaf on it. And then magically Krishna's going to accept it. But it means that we're taking the mercy of a devotee for Krishna to be able to accept this bhoga. That's really what it means. And also, when we make an offering, we make it through our spiritual master, by the mercy of our spiritual master, and he sends it up the disciplic succession to his spiritual master and goes to Krishna. So all the time, the offerings have to be made considering that we're offering to Krishna's devotees to offer to Krishna. So Tulsi is doing that. That's the reason for putting Tulsi. Not just the ritual. It's not that, you know, Krishna likes a little green thing on his plate. But it's Tulsi, a pure devotee of Krishna. Actually, Krishna's not satisfied. Even if you offer him millions of sabjis and sweets, if there's no Tulsi leaf. Because it's the devotion is coming from the devotee. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, that Krishna himself doesn't give bhakti. Bhakti comes from Krishna's devotee. I mean, bhakti is independent, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. And bhakti resides in the heart of a devotee. Krishna say tamar, Krishna dite par. Krishna is yours. Whoops, someone's phone, or that's maybe my phone. Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him, the acharyas come in. And we should simply be running behind Krishna's devotees, chanting Krishna, Krishna. So that's why. And so anyway, so they offer Krishna or Govardhan the bhog with the Tulsi leaf. Govardhan takes it. And then Indra, after that particular point, of course the residents of Vrindavan circumambulate Govardhan. And then Indra becomes very angry. And you know the story, then Krishna becomes an anxiety about saving the residents of Govardhan, and he lifts up Govardhan Hill. And the acharyas describe that not only did Krishna lift up Govardhan Hill for 7 days and, you know, everything was all right, but there was a whole basic valley underneath Govardhan Hill with rivers and anything and vegetables and, you know, whatever people wanted. This is in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by a Kavi Kanapur. If anyone is interested in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, I've done a whole narration of it. It's available on iskondesiretree.com for free. We're not selling it. So, and he describes, Kavi Kanapur describes that there's everything, streams and even mountains, everything under Govardhan, and the residents of Vrindavan are enjoying for the 7 days. And then after the 7 days, you know, I guess Indra's a slow learner. You know, if I try to attack someone and they lift it up a hill, you know, I pretty much get the lesson immediately, isn't it? You know, I think I made a mistake. So, and of course, also Indra sees the Sudarshan Chakra, which is hovering over the center of Govardhan, protecting Govardhan from getting wet. The rain that fell elsewhere in Braj fell and was collected in this Sankarshan Kund, which is right near Anyor. But the rain that fell on top of Govardhan was dried up by the Sudarshan Chakra, which we actually saw the place today on pilgrimage. We went around Govardhan. We went to that place. There's a chakra tree right where the Sudarshan Chakra hovered above. And there's also a deity of Lord Shiva, Chakaleshwar Mahadev, who is the guardian of that particular area, right in the center of Govardhan. So Indra, you know, he takes 7 days to learn his lesson. He feels really guilty about the whole thing. Not just guilty, scared. And then he stops the rain, and he's thinking, I'm in trouble. And he's thinking, what am I going to do? Because, you know, if he can lift Govardhan Hill, has a Sudarshan Chakra, then what is he going to do to me? And then so Indra, in order to pacify Krishna, first brings the Surabhi cow, because he knows Krishna is Govinda. Actually, he gives Krishna the name Govinda during this whole pastime. So he knows Krishna is the protector of the cows. And he... he brings the Surabhi cow with the milk from the heavenly planets. And Krishna becomes pacified. Then Indra apologizes, gives Krishna a bath with the heavenly the Ganges from the heavenly planets that was brought by Aryavata. And anyway, that's the Govardhan Puja story. And so Krishna is enjoying the whole thing. He's enjoying interacting with Indra. He's enjoying teaching Indra a lesson. He's enjoying lifting himself up in the form of Govardhan Hill. And Krishna says that anyone who knows or hears this pastime will never be bothered by the snakes on Govardhan. Because there are snakes here. Actually, one time we were Mayapur knows about this. They opened up the electrical panel here, and a cobra was looking at us. So there are snakes here. And Krishna, it says that those who don't worship Govardhan properly, guess what? Snakes will bite them. I read there was one time, one person who shall remain nameless was holding a Govardhan Puja ceremony at their house, and they invited me to come, and I said, I'm not coming. And they said, well, you'll be bitten by the snakes or something like that. So I immediately came over. So anyway, so that's the Govardhan pastime, and we're very fortunate to be here. And it's the holiest place. The holiest place in Braj. Braj is the holiest place anywhere. Actually, in Braj, all the holy places have their original forms. For example, there's a Lakshman Julan here in Braj. You may not know that. There's everything. All the Himalayas are here. Bhadarik Ashram is here. Has anyone here been to Bhadarik Ashram in Braj? I'm sure you have. No? Anyone here been there? You've been there. There's Bhadarik Ashram. Naranarayan Rishis are there. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So all the holy places are contained here. So people often ask me, why don't you go to all the holy places in India? I say, well, I just stay in Braj. And then in Braj, the holiest place is Govardhan. And in Govardhan, the holiest place is Radhakund and Shyamakund. So we don't have to go anywhere else. We can just stay here in Braj and chant the holy names. And respect the Brajabasis, who are very dear, even though we may not understand how everyone here is very dear to Krishna. They are residents of the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised his associate Jagadananda Pandit to be very careful when he was here. Because Jagadananda Pandit, actually he's Satchabhama in Dwarka Leela, he had a habit sometimes of getting angry. In fact, he even got angry at Sanatana Goswami one time for very small reason. So he said, you will not understand the mood of the people here. And he said to Jagadananda Pandit, you're in a different mood. So just stay for a short time and only stay with Sanatana Goswami. So we have to, that's very important, worshiping Govardhan, like we're talking about how Govardhan would only accept food, or Krishna only accepts food when there's a tulsi leaf. So we have to really, to please Govardhan, we have to please Govardhan's devotees too. We should think, no matter who it is, you know, someone small, big, different caste, it doesn't matter. They're all great personalities. Even in Jagannath Puri, it's described that the residents of the heavenly planets look down upon the residents of Jagannath Puri, and they see everyone with forearms. And here, it's not forearms. Nobody has forearms here. Except when Krishna wants to hide from the gopis, then he has forearms. There's this Chaturbhuj temple, which is right here at Govardhan. And when Krishna was hiding from the gopis, he manifested forearms, and the gopis were looking for him, and they just simply asked Krishna. They asked who they thought was Narayan, where's Krishna? But when Radharani came, Krishna couldn't keep the extra two arms. But other than that, who knows who these people are here? So we should actually worship not only Govardhan, but the people here in Braj. And then we can understand Govardhan and Krishna consciousness. All right, so any questions or comments?
We were just part of the Barsanai camp.
Oh, Barsanai, the eye camp.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're doing cataract surgery on people? Or?
Yeah.
We didn't do the surgeries, but we were assisting.
Assisting. Different areas.
That's good. Serving the devotees at Barsanai, very nice.
They're very simple people, full of gratitude for us. And they were just like blessing us, like giving us heaps of blessings.
You're very fortunate.
Yeah.
You're very fortunate to be able to serve. They're very simple and very humorous too.
Yeah.
We discovered that yesterday, 2 days ago, when we were doing a fire sacrifice and the bees attacked us. And we had to run away from the bees. All the residents of Braj were laughing at us. Very humorous. So, yes, they're very wonderful. We don't see their true position.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, we have to be very careful dealing with them and serve them.
It's an experience of all the devotees that whenever they are sleeping,
yeah,
and whenever they are not even like conscious, but still they are always chanting Radhe, Radhe,
Radhe. Radhe, Radhe.
They were continuously chanting.
Pain, like there was one lady, old lady who came after operation, and she was in pain. She was in Radhe, Radhe. I was looking at it and thinking, if I'm in pain, I don't know what I'm going to say.
Say, ouch.
Expletives.
Oh my God. Expletives. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, they're with Krishna. I mean, Krishna's their friend. They're playing with Krishna. I mean, just like that story of Madan Gopal. You know the story of Madan Gopal? I'll tell you the story. So when Advaitacharya came here to Braj, he found this deity of Madan Gopal, who later on became Madan Mohan. So what he did is he didn't take the deity with him. He gave it to, gave him to a family in Mathura, Chobe Brahman family. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard this story. And this family was treating the deity just like their son. They had another son, and their other son, you know, the human son, was playing marbles with the deity, you know, like people play marbles. And when it came time to eat prasadam, the deity would sit at the dinner table with everybody else. Pretty good. I mean, that's the Braj mood. And I'm not saying that we should do that. I think that would be inappropriate. But so anyway, so what happened is later on Sanatan Goswami comes, visits the family, and says, "Oh my God, what are you doing? You put the deity on the altar. You can't just play with him. He's not, you know, not a doll. So put him on the altar, worship him, dress him every day, do achman, you know, all this nice stuff, you know." And they said, "Okay, yes, okay, Guruji." So they put him on the altar. Sanatana Goswami that night has a dream. Madan Gopal chastises him. He says, "Why are you spoiling my fun?" Isn't that? And he said, and the deity says, "Now you'll have to take care of me." And so Sanatana Goswami says, "No, I can't do that. I have too many things to do. I'm writing Vaishnav literature, discovering the holy places. You know, I'm serving Lord Chaitanya. You'll just stay where you are." But the family, the Brahmin family, also has a dream, and Madan Gopal tells them to give the deity to Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami is given the deity. He says, "How am I going to serve you?" And he just hangs him from a tree. Not hang, you know, everything. But, you know, in a little pouch. You know, it was common years ago for people to carry their deity in a little pouch around the neck. And when they had to go to somewhere else, they would just hang them in the pouch.
They used to put them in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
On the boat at night.
Oh, really?
It's got swami things to have bows and arrows, and they used to go to the deities with bows and arrows.
Wow. In South India, to protect the deities, sometimes they would put them in a little chest, in a watertight chest, and put them under the water.
Wow.
So to protect the deities from getting desecrated or attacked by the Muslims. Muslims, mainly the Muslims. They would do that. So anyway, so the deity is there hanging from the tree. And Sanatana Goswami, you know, he didn't want to even take time to cook. So he would just take these dried bread balls, put them in the sun, and say, "Okay, here's your boga, Krishna." With a tulsi leaf, of course, you know, use tulsi leaves. And Krishna just complains, you know, that, "What are you doing? I want some salt, too." And then Sanatana Goswami said, "You're asking for salt now. Later on, you're going to want, you know, something else, sugar and sabji and everything like that. You know, just be satisfied if you are." If you know, this is the mood in Braj, you know, Krishna. that, and then just be satisfied. If you want salt, you'll have to get it yourself. And then the story is there was a salt barge, and the captain, isn't it? Prabhupada tells a story like that too. The salt barge, and then captain or the owner of the salt barge comes up to this Dwadasaditya Hill. Sanatana Goswami's temple is on Dwadasaditya Hill. It means 12 sons, because when Krishna jumped and chastised the Kaliya serpent and came out of the water, he was freezing. It was very cold. It must have been during the winter. And he was shivering, so he went to the top of the hill. The sun shone forth with 12 times the normal brilliance to dry up Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami, anyway, so this owner or the captain of the boat comes to Sanatana Goswami and says, Saduji, please help us. And Sanatana Goswami says, I can't do anything, just go talk to him. You know, this is the residence of Braj, their mood, you know. Just go talk to Krishna. He's sitting there, or hanging there, whatever. And so he talks to Krishna, or prays to Krishna, and there's a big storm. The salt barge is freed, goes on to Mathura, and all the money is used to build the Madan Mohan temple. So you see that, this is resident of Braj, that Krishna actually built his own temple. But we can't do that. We have to build the temples for Krishna. And we shouldn't tell the deities. We're not on that platform, the residents of Braj. We can tell Krishna, if you want a temple, just build it yourself. You want salt, you get it for yourself. I don't have time. Can you imagine doing that with the deities? That would be extremely offensive. So anyway, so this is the mood. And of course, Sanatana Goswami is a Brajabasi, obviously. And then also we have the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, that he was being served by Krishna and Radharani as he was chanting on the banks of the Shamakund. The tigers were there. Tigers, I guess Bengali tigers were at that particular point. And then Krishna was standing with a stick to protect him, and then Radharani was protecting him from the sun. This is intimate relationships. So anyway, these devotees have that intimate relationship. And if we please them, we become Krishna conscious very quickly. And if we displease them, then we, go somewhere else. We lose the taste for hearing and chanting. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
Swami Krishna was telling me that he does a parikram, just a simple boy.
Yeah.
He does parikram every day of Vrindavan. And he says that the trees always say Shri Radhe, Radhe Radhe when he walks.
Wow.
He's the trees talking. And he said many bridge buses hear the trees telling them things.
Wow. Oh my God. I just hear my feet telling me things. I'm tired. That's amazing. And the trees are all desire trees. There's a story I've told. Some of you heard this story before about desire trees. Actually, I shouldn't tell the real bad story, Maya, about me. No, I'll tell the other story. About me, my accident? No, I won't tell that story. No, I'll tell the story. Well, there was a once upon a time. I brought one of my godbrothers whose wife had just left him. He was like 55 years old. So I thought, you don't need to get married again, Prabhu. And so I said, let's go to Braj, you get a higher taste here. So we come here, and I go up to the desire tree, because I really want him just to, just renounce at this particular point. So I'm hugging the tree, and I'm just like, let him renounce, let him renounce, let him renounce, my dear desire tree. Hugging really hard, And then I said, look, I'm praying for you to the desire tree. And then he says, don't do that. And then he runs up to the same desire tree and hugs it with twice the force and prays with 100 times the intensity that I had. I want to get married. And so 2 weeks later, he's married, and he had an instant family with 3 children that the lady had a previous husband. Anyways, so really, the trees are desire trees. And you have to be careful. I'll tell the story about myself, because some of the people haven't heard it. That I, one time I was on Parikrama here, and I was with some devotees who were really driving me crazy. And I said, I just said out loud to in Braj, Krishna, make some arrangements so I don't have to go on Parikrama with these people. The next thing I knew, I was in hospital. And it's just, you know, and it wasn't a type of accident anybody could ever imagine they're having. I'm not going to describe what type of accident, but it was something that nobody would ever think would happen in the three worlds. No, you know, it was the first person to ever have this type of accident in the material creation. So basically, I couldn't sit. Krishna spanked me. And I couldn't sit for like, how many days, Mayapur? A week. I couldn't sit for a week, you know. So Krishna said, all right, you don't have to go in Parikrama with these people. So you have to be careful what you ask for. I mean, almost like the Mahabharata story where Draupadi was asking for a husband. And she asked five times. And she didn't want five husbands. But she was just enthusiastic. She wasn't careful what she asked for. And Lord Shiva said, yeah, you got five husbands. Mm-hmm. So whatever you ask for here, you get pretty quickly. Isn't it? I mean, it's just, one has to be very careful of the residence, of your desires, everything here. I mean, just something happened the other day. One of my disciples, I was very concerned. I wanted to find him a wife. So, crazy story. So I just said, Giriraj, we need to, is he here? No, he's not here. Oh, no. So I said, Giriraj, I'm so worried about him. And so I go to Vrindavan that day, and then I say to some people, do you know any nice girls? Yes, and I said, and then out comes perfect person for her. Oh my God, poor guy. So anyway, so you see that there's a reciprocation here. It's amazing. This is Chintamani. These are desire trees. But, you know, because we're covered, there's this layer of yoga maya, you know, covering everything. We just see, you know, the externals, you know, through our material vision. And then, you know, and Giriraj is Krishna. You know, he's directly Krishna. Sakshat Hari. Brajendranandana. Sakshat Brajendranandana. Okay. I think that's enough lessons for today. So, well, tomorrow we have Parikrama. You're all welcome to join us. What? Yeah, you want to ask a simple question.
While dealing with Brajvasis, when we do auto or something, bargaining,
they enjoy it. That's their pastime. You have to understand that's actually, they enjoy it.
But I don't meet their expectation and I walk away and they are...
No, that's part of bargaining. You have to understand, part of bargaining, you act like you're not, you know, you don't need them. You understand? And you make an offer and they say, no way, and they just say, okay, I'll walk. And then 2 seconds later, they come up with the rickshaw and say, okay, we'll take you.
How about Pujari? It's like when sometimes, even if you resist, but they start telling you the stories and they ask you to sit and do this.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you just be nice. I mean, what I do is when people ask me for donations here, I just pull out my cape and I say, you give me a donation. And they like it. The main thing is you're humorous. They're very humorous, the people here. Very sweet and humorous. If you get angry, it's very bad. I had one of my disciples once, I was in Radhakund, and the Pandav was asking for money, and the disciple took a tripod, you know, that's one of these things, and pushed him away. And the Brajbasi was getting ready to curse him. And I told the devotees, you bow down, touch his feet and cry. You better be careful. So the whole thing is your mood. It's not that you have to give everybody money who asks for money. But it's your mood with the people and loving, you know, loving exchange with the people. I find this humor is really good. Because people, they're very humorous, like simple, wonderful people here. But
many of the Brajvasis that seem ordinary people,
yeah,
but they have like witnessed the leelas of Radharani. Like in some disguised form, she will come and
yeah,
she will fulfill the desire, or she will give something that they never imagined. So there are many pastimes like that.
Yeah, yeah, many of them have these pastimes. I mean, this is Chintamani. It's just it's amazing place. Amazing place. But one has to be careful. One has to be careful. You know, just like, what do they say? Something in a China shop?
A bull in
a
China shop.
A bull in a China shop.
A bull, oh, okay.
You know, like a bull. There's a China shop where everything is very fragile, you know, so the bull goes in and destroys everything. So we have to be very sensitive to the everything. Okay, why don't we end? And tomorrow we have Parikrama. You're all invited to join us. We start at 6:30 in the morning.
From here.
And we're going down the Puchuri after that, around that whole, from the gate, front gate of Vasundhara. And then we're going to go to all the different places on the way, like Suravikund and the Nrisinga temple. There's a beautiful Nrisinga temple at the tail of Govardhan. It's one of the original deities that was installed by Brajanaba over 5,000 years ago. Brajanaba was Krishna's great-grandson. And most of the original deities were taken to Udaipur, Jaipur, and different places for protection. And there's some of the original deities still left. So, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Well, not everyone should.
Congratulations.
Big crowd.
No, we are just volunteers serving, because they need many volunteers to control the crowd.